Our goal this morning is just to introduce this broad subject. I'll come back to this next week in much more detail. Ephesians chapter 6. Is there something I don't know about here? Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Let's go ahead and read together. Again, we'll just do a broad introduction, and then we'll come back to this in more detail next Sunday. Our goal today is not to exhaust this subject, but just to lay this forth. Next week I'll come back to this for the full amount of time. I just wanted to do about half the time introducing this, and then I didn't want to rush the Lord's Supper this morning. And so let's read together. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 12. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God, so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Bow your heads, let's pray. Dear God, our goal today is just to think deeply about this subject. Give me wisdom to introduce this. I pray for your precious ones today. Just, dear God, genuinely pray for their protection. Pray that you would use the Bible this morning to speak to us about this danger that lurks behind every corner of our lives. Just pray that we would be sober and hear this as coming from you. Remove again the man, the messenger. Just confess the weakness, the inability of the messenger. Pray that your people would just have ringing clarity on this subject, and that we would shine light here together on darkness, dear God, and that you would be glorified, you would be exalted today through the preaching of your word. In Jesus' name, amen. For a lot of people this morning who profess Christ, they're completely, utterly, totally unaware of the real, literal, intense, spiritual battle that wages behind what we can see, touch, smell, and feel. Many people this morning are oblivious to the war that rages for souls all around us. The war that rages for your own precious life and soul today. The life and soul of your family, your friends, your loved ones, your church, your nation. Most people are unaware of the spiritual battle behind the curtain of what is mortal. And there's a danger to your family, your marriage, your children, your pastor, your church, your government, your country. There's a danger. Not to mention your own personal, precious personal life as a Christian. There's a danger to progressive sanctification, being conformed to the image of Christ, that wages behind the curtain. Most people who profess Christ, you know people, they just live in an ignorant bliss related to the spiritual war, false doctrine, bad teaching, faulty methods, all of these things influenced by the enemy of God everywhere around us. And because of sin, this is inside of us as well. Let me try to help you this morning. Again, just a broad introduction to make you think about this maybe for the first time in some time. We just passed through the Halloween season. I'm not big on Halloween. It's not my favorite time of year, other than remembering the precious Protestant Reformation, which is about that time. But otherwise, I think about how so many people view Satan and the devil and the demons. They think of some Hollywood portrayal of evil, the devil, the demons. When I'll date myself. When I was a kid, I mean, that movie, and I just use this for illustrative purposes and nothing more. When I was a kid, that movie, The Exorcist, was huge when I was a little kid. And then as I got into college and late teens in college, those Halloween movies, the Freddy Krueger and the Jason and all those Halloween movies got popular. And the great misconception for many people is that Satan, the devil, the demons work in the form of some frightening figure or some weird and bizarre encounter that has a scary face or some distorted form. And people think, yeah, that's right. That's how evil's manifested. That's how the devil and the demons work. They work through Jason and Freddy Krueger. Not this Jason, the Jason in the movie. And people think, I mean, it's The Exorcist. People spin, their heads spin around. But for those of us who've lived the Christian life, those of us who understand the Scripture, those of us who have been in ministry, those of us who have shined light on darkness, those of us who have taught the truth and tried to live the truth in a dark world, there's so much more to this subject that is left unsaid. And we grasp that the devil and the demons and the literal forces of hell, they are real, they are literal. And they are actively involved in all that opposes God. Listen to me. They are subtle. They are most often non-threatening. They are very often attractive to others. They are stealth in their approach. Not brass. They're not out to make a scene. They're not out to put a cold chill down your spine so you run the other direction. On the contrary, they try to make you feel comfortable and complacent and secure, which leads to pride, which leads to spiritual indifference. And then they come in for the kill, physically and spiritually. The Apostle Paul understood this subject perfectly, supernaturally, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Paul the Apostle cuts through all of the charismatic chaos that reigns when dealing with this subject of spiritual warfare. Paul the Apostle shines light on this dark subject that untold numbers of people in churches today are totally, totally confused about. I've talked to them. People are confused about this subject. And what does that lead to? They fear the wrong things. They focus on the wrong things. They're frustrated with the wrong things. They're fascinated with the wrong things. And they fight using the wrong methods. And for many today, they're trying to combat the reality of evil, the devil, the demons, with a wrong mission statement. Today, beloved, our goal on Communion Sunday, I want to get you thinking about this. Next week we'll dive into the verses in context. But there are so many components of this subject that need clarification. And the subject at hand, if you're wondering how you could title all of this, you could title this subject, again, the spiritual war or the spiritual warfare of the Christian. And the reason we have to start with a broad introduction is that for so many, and again, this is worth repeating, many, many people live unconscious to the reality, beloved, of the spiritual war that rages behind the curtain. It is trying to destroy you, your life, your marriage, your children, your church, your testimony, your good name. The devil, the demons are actively working behind the scenes to set up circumstances and events to destroy you physically and spiritually. They are working to destroy the church and all that we do for the glory of God. And this needs to be said today without apology. Listen to me. If you are a genuine believer born again from above today through faith in Christ, and you desire to walk worthy of the calling with which you have been called, we've been studying this since Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1 for many months now. If you desire to be holy and sanctified and set apart to God, if you desire to use the spiritual gifts that God has given you for the building up of the body of Christ, if you desire to shine light on the dark world that you live in, if you desire to be filled with the Holy Spirit of God, doing the will of God in your life, if you want to be a good wife or a good husband or a good father or a good grandfather or a good pastor or a church leader or a Sunday school leader, and you want to, as we've said three or four times already today, you want to decrease so God increases. If that's true of your life, if you desire the glory of God, the will of God, the worship of God, and you're actively involved in those things, you can be certain, listen to me, you are now enlisted in spiritual war. You are enlisted in the spiritual battle. It's Veterans Day. What, tomorrow? We honor our precious veterans, praise God. We think about those who have served. My own blood uncles had bullets shot at them and shot bullets, front lines of war. They made it back alive, unharmed. Many of you, everyone here has a connection to someone who's fought in battle, in war. I didn't even realize one of my uncles, my mother's brother, he was literally a war hero. He was on the front lines of war, the Korean War. And the things that he saw and experienced were so horrible, I didn't learn until much later in life when I was an adult that he wouldn't speak of them. He would not speak of them. And I learned later in life of the heroic accomplishments, the highest medal, the Bronze Star in war. Wouldn't even speak of the events that he saw and witnessed in war. Horrible things. And you can be sure this morning, moving from the physical world to the spiritual world, if you are a genuine believer, you are now in a war, a spiritual war. You are a target of the enemy. Whether you like it or not, whether you agree with it or not, you are now a nemesis of Satan and his forces that wage war against Christ, the Word of God, the Church, the Gospel, prayer. You are now, by association, a direct rival of Satan who desires to destroy you. If you desire this church bear fruit for the glory of God, and we continue to stay unified and bearing fruit and involved in the salvation and sanctification of sinners and ministry and the Gospel, if you desire that, the church is a target for the enemy of God, for the demons. It's been well said, the faithful Christian life is a battle, it is warfare on a grand scale, because what God begins to bless, Satan begins to attack, end quote. Just for a moment, think with me about a biblical summary of this. The very beginning of Jesus' public ministry, it's fascinating. It was met with Satan tempting Christ for 40 days in the wilderness, trying to get the Lord Jesus off his mission of going to the cross, Luke 4:2. The very conclusion of Jesus' public ministry, we read it this morning in Luke 22. Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane was confronted with all of this struggle, conflict in the Garden of Gethsemane. You think of the Apostle Paul. To the Thessalonian church, he wrote, I wanted to come to you, I, Paul, more than once, and yet Satan thwarted me. 1 Thessalonians 2:18. You think about the Apostle Paul, 2 Corinthians 2:11. Paul wrote, we are not ignorant of Satan's schemes. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, Paul wrote, a messenger of Satan has come to torment me. Peter said the same thing, be on the alert, be on your guard, be sober. Your adversary prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking someone to devour. Listen to the following thought on the subject as I was studying, and I quote, The Christian who continually seeks to grow in his knowledge of and obedience to the Word of God and to serve the Lord more faithfully will not find ministry becoming easier. As the Lord gives mastery over certain temptations and weaknesses Satan will attack elsewhere, faithful witnessing, preaching, teaching, visiting, prayer, and every other service for the Lord will not only bring victory, but will also bring their own special difficulties and opposition. A Christian who no longer has to struggle against the world and the flesh and the devil is a Christian who has fallen either into sin or into complacency. A Christian who has no conflict is a Christian who has retreated from the front lines of spiritual service. That was given to me at the Master's Seminary as I studied this. That's a tremendous thought. End quote. That's a tremendous thought. I close with this. That last sentence is the reason why this is a difficult subject in our churches. The subject is either ignored or it's made out to be something peculiar and bizarre, something it was never intended to be by God. For many people, they're absent from spiritual service. They're no longer using their life, their gifts. They're no longer shining light in the dark world, and therefore they're not part of this battle. There's no reason for the enemy of God to target them, for they pose no threat to the kingdom of darkness. But I promise you, when light comes into the world, when truth comes into the world, when real biblical ministry brings to bear itself in the world and in the church, there will be opposition to that light and the truth. It's true at home, it's true in the workplace, it's true in your family, it's true right here. And so, when real Christians desire real ministry for the glory of God, that desire to bring forth light, boy, that's met with honest, real, literal opposition. And often, people are asleep to this subject because they don't experience any resistance in their life. Therefore, they think this isn't real, or this was for someone else, or this is for another time. And the reason many experience nothing related to the battle is that for many they've retreated from the front lines of service. Many are not using their spiritual gifts for the glory of God. They're not involved in prayer. They're not involved in biblical ministry for the benefit of others and for the Son of God, Jesus Christ. But for those of us in ministry, most of us here today, whether your ministry is at home, with your kids, at work, in church, with your family, wherever it is, boy, you're tracking with me. You get this. You've lived this. You've experienced this. You've gained victory in one area of your life, perhaps. Tremendous victory. Only to be assaulted in another area of life where never in your wildest dreams would you imagine you would have struggled. It's how the enemy of God works. And so we must learn to take seriously. Ephesians 6:10, finally be strong in the Lord and the strength of His might. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in heavenly places. Let's pray. Dear God, as we briefly introduce this subject today, I pray we would have listening ears and hearts that are open to learning how we can just defend ourselves is my prayer. Just pray for your precious believers here today. Dear God, hear my cry for them. Protect them. Dear God, teach us what this means. I pray that you would move people into the battle. And that as we go into the fight, we would know the weapons of our warfare come from you, and they are powerful. Dear God, that you would remove the fear and the uncertainty and just the struggle that so many people have from crossing the line from being civilians to being warriors for you. I pray it would be so in this church. And protect us, dear God, individually and as a body, and protect these precious ones before me. As we transition now into the Lord's table, dear God, prepare our hearts. Teach us, dear God, to examine ourselves so that we would not be judged. Teach us to examine ourselves to see indeed what our spiritual temperature is today. Teach us to be humble. We come to the Lord's Supper seeking you, dear God, and just the washing of our feet, just renewed fellowship. And I pray the communion time now will be pleasing to you, and that you would do heart business in each one here. In Jesus' name.